Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
On the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, it's time for the Acrisure Fan Advantage. This week, every week this year, the Acrisure Fan Advantage is going to get you closer to the team. Then that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And every Saturday, we're going to talk to an expert on their opponent that week. This week, we got Mike DiRocco from ESPN talking about the Jaguars, who are 5-2 and coming into Pittsburgh feeling really good on a four-game win streak. But what are they saying about the Steelers? We'll hear from Mike right here on the North Shore Drive podcast. It's the Acrisure Fan Advantage. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast. This is the Acrisure Fan Advantage episode of the podcast that is brought to you by Acrisure all season long. The Fan Advantage brings you closer to the team than ever before, featuring exclusive answers to your burning questions by Steelers insider Brian Batko. We had that episode on Friday and an in-depth conversation with an opponent expert every single week. Tune in every Friday and Saturday before the Steelers games all season long to get the Acrisure Fan Advantage, and visit acrisure.com/fanadvantage for more information to submit your questions today. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. We got a special guest, Mike DiRocco from ESPN. And Mike, we're very excited to have you on the show. It's funny because a while ago, it feels like, you know, I grew up in Pittsburgh. Steelers Jaguars used to be this regular rivalry in the AFC Central. And even when they splintered into other divisions, they went back and forth. There was that rivalry kind of persisted. And it's kind of just died off after the Jalen Ramsey Jaguars kind of like faded out and they've had to kind of rebrand and do everything. I think the last time they played was what, like 2020, maybe 2021. It's kind of crazy to think about. But now both of these franchises are in such different places when they were. But when I look at them, I don't know about you, I see very similar teams right now. Young quarterbacks looking to find their way from the ACC. Running backs, first round draft picks came from the same class. Two wide receivers each on each team that could each argue that they're the number one wide receiver. Offensive lines that have good moments but also bad moments. And really talented edge rushers that define their defenses. Is this a mirror match we're looking at on Sunday?
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it because they are pretty similar. Especially when it comes to physical defenses, which is sort of, you know, what Pittsburgh is known for. And mm-hmm. that's what, you know, Jags players have been talking about all week, about how, you know, when you go into Pittsburgh or whenever you play Pittsburgh, they're going to punch you right in the mouth. And this Jags defense has been much better than I think everybody around here, media-wise and fan-wise, has expected. It's been probably the biggest surprise on this team is how well they played defensively. So especially when you consider, you know, they really haven't rushed the passer too well. Josh Allen has been really, really good, but that's pretty much all they're getting. But it's been a big surprise how good this defense has been. And it's really had to be because it's sort of carried this offense through some early struggles and through some periods in games when it's just been an offensive lull. So yeah, pretty similar teams for sure. And that, you know, and that's why I think this has got a chance to be one of the better, more entertaining games of the weekend.
I'm right with you. I think this has a chance to be a great game. 4-2 team in the Steelers, a half game back of the first place Ravens, and the 5-2 Jaguars, who have jumped out to a start here. A lot of people in Pittsburgh are talking about Trevor Lawrence because of, you know, Kenny Pickett, and they want to see – everyone wants Kenny Pickett to have the sophomore year that Trevor Lawrence did and taking a step forward and figuring his game out and getting them to the playoffs and getting a playoff win. But what are the Jaguars talking about the most about the Steelers? Are they obviously, T.J. Watt draws a lot of attention, but what have you heard them speak as far as him and the other things the Steelers do on their team right now?
Yeah, T.J. Watt's the number one thing they're talking about. I mean, he's a game wrecker, and that's what they, you know, you can't have that guy wreck your game if you're the Jags or any team that's playing the Steelers. But the thing of it is don't concentrate too much on him because you got the guy on the other side, and Highsmith, who's pretty darn good as well. And Trevor Lawrence actually mentioned he played against Highsmith in college one time, and Highsmith got him down for a sack. So he remembered that, which I guess these quarterbacks always remember the guys that sack them. It's really kind of funny. But, you know, that's priority number one. And, you know, you mentioned earlier the offensive lines for both teams have had their moments. It's coming off their best game. You know, Trevor Lawrence had the knee sprain. He was wearing a brace last week against the Saints, and he didn't get hit once in that game. Now, yes, he got the ball out quick at times, but he also had to hold on to it at other times as well. So the only time he got touched was when he ran the ball. So that was the best game the offensive line has played all year. They're still banged up a little bit there. I don't think the left guard, Walker Little, is going to play. So that's an issue to kind of keep an eye on. But, you know, they're going to do whatever they can to keep T.J. Watt out of that backfield. You know, they're going to put a tight end over there, whether that's Evan Engram, Brenton Strange, Luke Farrell. They're not going to give him a free run. Now, the right tackle, I know those guys flip and flop. So if you're probably going to, you know, Cam Robinson, the left tackle, has, you know, been in this league a long time since 2017, established guy, you know, probably going to attack Anton Harrison, the rookie right tackle, who has gotten steadily better all year. I mean, week two, he got thrown in there and he's like, okay, here's Chris Jones. The Chiefs moved Chris Jones right over there and said, hey, you know, here you go, big boy, deal with this guy. And it wasn't pretty, but he has progressively gotten better. The Jags are real excited about him, but you know, they're not going to be dumb enough to say, okay, you handle TJ Watt or Highsmith for that matter on your own. So they're going to give him some help over there, but that's, you know, defensively, you know, that, you know, that's the main thing they're worried about. Offensively, they don't want to get beat by the two big receivers. And, you know, Tyson Campbell, the Jags' number one corner, missed last week's game with a hamstring. I wasn't expecting him to play this week. I'm still not sure he's going to, but he's been out at practice in a limited basis and moving around pretty well. So that's sort of, you know, something to monitor as well. But Darius Williams, the other corner, is probably, you know, this is the best year of his career, which is saying something because he had a couple of really good years with the Rams, but he's played really, really well. You know, and keeping those guys for the one thing you look at the Jags and you see where they rank, I think it's either 30th or 31st in pass defense in terms of yards allowed. But they've been up in games, and teams have had to turn around and throw the ball late in the second half. I mean, Derek Carr threw it 55 times last week. So the numbers may be a little bit deceiving from that standpoint. But, you know, they've done a really good job of not giving up the big play. They've made teams sort of nickel and dime them to death down the field, and that's been sort of their strength. And they're turning the ball over, lead the league with 16 forced turnovers. So that's what they're going to try and do on defense. You know, and stopping the run. It always starts with stopping the run there. And they're going to want to try and, you know, get in Kenny Pickett's face and try and force the young quarterback to make some mistakes. And, you know, Josh Allen, like I said, is having a career year, 7 sacks. You know, Trayvon Walker, the number one pick last year on the other side, has struggled some. He does get pressure, but he doesn't really finish. You know, it's like the guy that goes to the bar every week and he talks a big game with all the girls, but then he ends up going home alone. That's kind of what he's been like this week, this year, just really not getting there. You know, so it's been a struggle for them to really kind of get pressure on the quarterback. But, you know, if Allen can get through, you know, and make some plays and force an interception or two here or there, that's sort of been what's really carried this defense.
It's funny. When I tweeted, Mike Tomlin had a lot of praise for Trevon Walker. He said, listen, he doesn't produce the sacks, but that guy, he called him a wrecking ball. Like he doesn't necessarily get after the quarterback, but he is a problem that you have to account for. I tweeted that quote out, Mike, and like, I didn't realize that I just started a war in Jacksonville territory because there were some Jaguars fans who were like, see, he is great. Why do you guys hate him? And some Jaguars fans were like, no, he's Mike Tomlin. He's just being nice. And I was like, what just happened? I just tweeted out, he does this every week. And I'm like, okay, fine. But I just thought it was hysterical to see that there is such a divide. And listen, Pittsburgh has plenty of those. Najee Harris and Jalen Warren at running back, do not get them started about that. Right. There are fire Matt Canada chants everywhere. One reporter saw at Giant Eagle, our local grocery store, there was a cake that said Fire Canada on it. like at ready in the bakery. And I'm like, y'all are sick. So I'm not surprised by Jaguars fans on the Trevon Walker, Josh Allen thing, but it's just another sign to me of just one of the things that we're hearing out of Jacksonville with what's going on there.
Yeah, look, the expectations on him are outrageous as the number one overall pick, as they should be. Okay. You know, and then you look at the guy that they passed on to take, Aiden Hutchinson, has been very good, really good as a as a player, as a rookie. He gets to the quarterback. He brings a quarterback down. He's got, what, four interceptions. Trevon Walker is a very good football player. Okay. And if you had taken him in the middle of the second round, I think everybody would be exceptionally pleased. But you took him first overall, and the expectation is you get a game wrecker like TJ Watt, and that's not what he is. He's very good against the run, very good at setting the edge, and he is a strong, strong guy, long and athletic. So he makes a lot of good football players. He's just not an elite pass rusher. And, you know, the Jaguars looked at Aiden Hutchinson, they looked at Trevon Walker, and they said, we think Aiden Hutchinson is as good as he's going to be. We think Trevon Walker is going to develop into that elite pass rusher. You know, they moved him to outside linebacker, and it just really hasn't worked. He just hasn't taken that next step as a rusher. But he's a very, very good player. And I think people here, well, there's a segment here that are behind Trevon Walker no matter what, and there's that other segment, like you said, that don't, you know, they're disappointed that they're not getting the big-time pass rush. I can see Trevon Walker being a 10, 12, 13, 14-year guy in the NFL who, you know, on a really good year has 8 or 9 sacks, very good against the run. He drops in coverage really, really well for a guy that weighs 270 pounds. That's something to keep an eye on for the Steelers as well. I mean, he will drop in coverage maybe more than you even think, but he's just not the elite pass rusher that, you know, I think everybody expected to get from the number one pick.
I hear that. I want to talk about how the Jaguars plan to counter the Steelers' elite pass rushers on the other end, because we've seen some game plans from teams and we've seen it work and not work against the Steelers. I want to talk about how you think the Jaguars are going to apply that here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's the AccraShare Fan Advantage. We've got Mike DeRocco from ESPN. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast is the AccraShare Fan Advantage. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Mike DeRocco of ESPN. He covers the Jaguars. He's known that he knows everything about the Jacksonville Jaguars as the Steelers take on the Jaguars 1 p.m. Sunday at AccraShare Stadium. Just a reminder, the AccraShare Advantage is coming to you all year long, getting you closer to the Steelers than ever before with exclusive answers to your burning questions that are submitted to us from Brian Batko and myself every Friday and then every Saturday, just like you're seeing right here. We talk to an expert on the Steelers' upcoming opponent and give you the full preview as far as the out-of-town perspective of what's coming up in this game. You can visit accrasure.com/fanadvantage for more information to submit your questions today. Mike, I got to talk to you about game plans that I've seen. I love watching film. I love breaking down the things and analyzing those parts of tape. And when I look at the Steelers' best and worst games this year, when the edges have taken over, obviously that's when they're at their best. But one thing I saw that Houston Texans really do when they dismantled the Steelers 30-6 in that win, I saw the Texans come up with a game plan that was, we are going to make sure that these two guys do not beat us. Either C.J. Stroud was getting out the ball quick, it was a screen pass that the edges weren't going to be able to have time to get there, or they were calling max protect so that C.J. Stroud had time to sit in the pocket. And I wasn't sure that the Steelers were going to win last week against the Rams because I was like, Sean McVay is going to do exactly that. That's what he does. He finds the thing. And he did do that. But the Steelers were able to counter it with different looks, different blitzes, and it became a really awesome chess match to watch when you went back and looked at the film last week. Do you anticipate the Jaguars kind of adjusting their style to something like that. Just get the ball quickly out of Trevor Lawrence's hands or limit the amount of pass catchers that they have to make sure that he has all as much time as he needs to throw when they want to go deep. Or do you see the Jaguars trying to dictate their own pace of how they're going to call their offense?
No, I think we'll see a lot of what we saw against the Saints last week, which was partly because of Trevor Lawrence's knee, the sprained knee that he was dealing with. But they got the ball out very quick. If you look at the numbers, Trevor Lawrence gets the ball out quick anyway. He's among the top 6-7 in the league in terms of getting the ball time to throw. But last week, you know, they threw a lot of quick wide receiver screens. They threw a lot of those, you know, horizontal passes to the backs. They threw some to tight end Evan Ingram as well. So they're going to utilize a lot of that. And they're also going to do, you know, some max protect at times. They're also going to make sure that TJ Watt is never, you know, not accounted for with more than one player. I shouldn't say never, but certainly, Travis Etienne is going to be coming out. They'll be chipping him a little bit. You know, I think there will be more times where TJ Watt might get one-on-one on Cam Robinson. They'll feel a little bit more comfortable putting in that scenario that opposed to Anton Harrison, the rookie, taking him one-on-one. But they're not going to let, like you said, they're not going to let those guys beat him. Trevor Lawrence does a really good job of moving in the pocket as well. And when they did get close, he did take off and scramble last week. He was the leading rusher in the game. I think he had 63 yards. First time in his career, he's led the Jags in rushing. And he was, you know, he outrushed Alvin Kamara in that game last week, believe it or not, by 1 yard. So that's what you'll kind of see as well. And where I think the Jags have a decent advantage in that game is that, you know, Christian Kirk is very, very good out of the slot. His quickness is really his strength. And the guy that's the matchup problem for a lot of teams is Evan Ingram. They can line him up out wide. They can line him up in the slot. He's essentially a wide receiver that's significantly bigger than, you know, all the other Jags receivers. So they've got some options there. And Travis Etienne, as a receiver out of the backfield, this franchise used to be a franchise that struggled to do anything in the screen game. And Etienne has really kind of helped them turn that around. So they've got some options, but, you know, there's going to be some times when Trevor Lawrence is going to be asked to drop back and wait 2-3 seconds, to try and get something going down the field. And they're going to have to protect. I mean, that's just the bottom line. They're going to have to protect. There's going to be a handful of plays where, you know, that offensive line is going to have to hold up. Now, a lot of it, too, will depend on what the Steelers do against Calvin Ridley, because, right, you know, last week the Saints, they bracketed, they had a guy over the top. They were not going to let Calvin Ridley beat them deep. So the Jags had to be patient and take some of those shorter passes and make that be their priority and, you know, have to go on longer drives. And they showed the patience to do that, which is, you know, a credit to a young quarterback, because sometimes those guys, you know, in second and third years, they're just like, you know what, they just get too impatient and they want to take a shot down the field. So we'll have to see how the Steelers attack Ridley, because that'll kind of be the key to everything else too.
I'm right with you on that. That makes a lot of sense. I wanted to ask you about ATN because he's a very different style than Najee Harris. Both were first round picks in that 2021 class. And I think you've seen him come on a little bit of late. He's been making some big plays. He's more of the home run hitter than Najee Harris. Najee Harris is more of the, I'm going to turn, you know, 2 yards into 5 yards, 5 yards into 8 yards, just be that physical kind of guy. What has allowed Travis Etienne to kind of get his burst lately? Because the Steelers, they have not consistently stopped the run this year. And that's, you know, that's something that they got a lot better at last year. Granted, Cam Hayward was a big factor in that. And he's been hurt most of this year. And he at least started practicing on Thursday for the Steelers. I don't think he'll be ready for this game, but he's at least opened up his window to return. But that, to me, Travis Etienne could be the biggest kind of X factor in this game outside of Trevor Lawrence because of the Steelers' problems in stopping the run and his ability to not just run well, but take one little mistake and turn it into a huge play.
Yeah, believe it or not, and it sounds weird to say this on a team with Travis Etienne and or with Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley, but Travis Etienne's been the offensive MVP of this team so far this year. Now, you look at his numbers the last several weeks, it's not 120 yards, 110 yards or whatever. He's had some 30s and some 40s and some 50s in there, except for the Buffalo game where he really had his best game of the year. But the thing he's doing is he's scoring touchdowns. He's got multiple touchdown runs in three consecutive games. If he gets two against the Steelers, he'll be the first guy to do it in four straight games since LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006. So he's up there in some pretty significant company. Last year, he was his second year in the league, but really his rookie year because he missed 2021 with a Lisfranc injury. So he was really just kind of learning how to be a running back last year in the league. And what they told him after the season was, look, you left a lot of yards out there and you left a lot of big plays out there. So here's what we want you to work on. We want you to work on squaring up at the line of scrimmage, getting through and making a move that sets up, you know, the guys in the second and third level, you know, to kind of make sure that you can get there and make a move and go ahead and, you know, break a long run. And the two other things they needed him to do as well was to be smart about the hits he takes, because he seemed to take a lot of big hits last year and he would put the ball on the ground. That's the other thing. He fumbled five times last year, which is entirely too many. And a lot of those came when he was fighting for an extra half a yard. So they wanted him to understand, look, go down. You don't have to fight for that extra half yard. Protect the football. That's the most important thing. So you add all that together, and he's been a much better back this year. And the one thing about him, too, is he's not the biggest guy, you know, but he's very thick in his lower body. And what he was able to do 2 weeks ago against the Colts is he gets into the line of scrimmage, and he really doesn't need a big crease. And he's able to get himself small, and then he pops through the crease, and they've kind of lost track of it. And then that allows him, you know, to get a couple of steps on somebody. And if he's able to get a couple of steps, he can break a long run. So, you know, I think he's the X factor for this team going into this week. Until this offense really starts getting back on a roll like they were in the second half of the season, I think the best thing for them would be to kind of put the game on ETN's shoulders and let him ride it out as much as he can.
I hear you on that. I want to talk to you about you now that we've gone over that, you know, that aspect of the game. I want to talk about how this is going to play out, where you see some of the biggest clashes and matchups happening in this game. We'll do all that here on the North Shore Drive podcast. It's the Acrisure Fan Advantage from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Mike DiRocco, stick with us. We got one more segment here. We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast. It's the Acrisure Fan Advantage from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Mike DiRocco from ESPN. Mike, I want to get into, I love talking matchups. I love talking about, you know, where, you know, what dictates things first. One matchup that I always look at in every game is I always look which defensive front will disrupt the other team's offense first, because that to me, that's like get, you know, when you're playing chess, who takes the first rook or who makes the first big move there. It doesn't necessarily determine who's going to win, but it can determine the path of the game here. Do you think that this is a game where that is the biggest thing you're looking at, is seeing like which defensive front can take over, or are you looking at another matchup that you see is going to be the biggest factor in who wins this game?
No, I'm with you on not on the defensive front that takes over, especially because, you know, of the situation with the Jags offensive line and, you know, the rookie on the right side and how inconsistent that group has been all year. Look, if TJ Watt has three sacks in this game, you know, or between him and Highsmith, they have three or four sacks in this game, I think the Steelers win this game. The Jaguars have. The offense, it's so funny because at the beginning of the year, before the season even started, I wrote a story that, you know, Trevor Lawrence could be setting and breaking all of the franchise single season passing records this year. Everything's in place for this to happen. Maybe even approach 5,000 yards. I mean, you add Calvin Ridley to an offense that ranked 10th in yards and 10th in scoring last season. How could it not be one of the best offenses in franchise history? And it just hasn't materialized. Now, offense is down all over the league. But, you know, they've had moments where they've looked really good, but then they've also had moments where it's been a struggle to move the ball. The third quarter against the New Orleans Saints, they had three plays. You know, the week before against the Indianapolis Colts, they really struggled in the second half to get anything going on the ground. And they were lucky enough to have big leads and hold on. But, you know, the offensive line just wasn't able to create a lot of space in that run game, and that just kind of plugged everything up for them. So, you know, I don't see this offense being you know, all of a sudden turning it on and being the explosive 400 and 500 yard offense that we saw at times last season. So they've got to be careful with turnovers, and they've got to be careful to stay out of some long yardage situations, because that's when you obviously get in trouble. So for me, the biggest matchup is, how do the Jags handle those two edge rushers? How does Anton Harrison deal with yet another, arguably one of the best, or arguably the best pass rusher in the game today, in Watt? You know, if they, like I said, if they struggle with that matchup and Trevor Lawrence is getting hit and he's not able to get the ball out quick, then I think the Steelers win this game. And, you know, Josh Allen is going to have a big game on his side. That, you know, this pass rush and Josh Allen has had its moments, but, you know, they went against the Houston Texans with four backup offensive linemen and they didn't get C.J. Stroud down at all, which was a surprise. Trayvon Walker last week went up with against a backup offensive tackle, never even touched Derek Carr. You know, it's not been consistent. So, you know, they've got to play well, and they've got to play well against those two edge rushers, or this game is going to go pretty badly for the Jaguars.
Just Thursday, in fact, in the Steelers locker room, George Pickens, who, you know, he makes a lot of headlines in Pittsburgh. He's a pretty big playmaker, back-to-back 100 yards receiving games. He talked about how the Jaguars defense, he called it a hope defense. I think that he was looking for a way to explain how they're a defense that depends on their front to win, because they don't want their secondary to kind of be held out there in coverage too long, because they don't have the coverage guys to run with receivers, with top-end receivers. Would you agree with that assessment, or do you feel like maybe that's missing a few key points that the Jaguars defense does bring to the table? Because like you said, they may be 31st in passing yards allowed, but they're 22 in yards per attempt, which kind of shows they aren't the worst pass defense in the NFL. It's just like you said, a lot of teams are throwing against them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're elite by any stretch of the imagination, but Tyson Campbell is one of the league's better corners. And Darius Williams, like I said, is having a career year. The guy who's really kind of stepped up too is Andre Sisco, the safety, who, you know, in 24 career games at Syracuse had 13 interceptions. He didn't play much as a rookie, and he's really started to kind of come into his own, and he's got three picks this year, and should really have a touchdown, but, you know, had the ball knocked out of his hand on his way to an interception return for a touchdown. So, you know, the pass rush, when it has been good, and when Josh Allen has been in the quarterback's face, has helped them out a lot. But I don't necessarily know that I would arguably call the secondary the strength of the defense. Middle linebackers have been really, really good, in Foye Aluakin and you know, Devin Lloyd. But, you know, at times, you know, the pass rush that hasn't worked has been able to, you know, when it hasn't worked, the secondary has given up some plays, but they're really not giving up the big shots. And that's the thing that I think they worry about this week with those two receivers, with Pickens especially, because that guy can be covered and surrounded by two or three guys and somehow still stick a hand up and end up with the football. I mean, he's unbelievable. But you know, this defense, this secondary has been pretty good. Now, again, it all goes out the window when Sunday rolls around. You know how it is, because you think this matchup is the one that you win as a team, and then – all of a sudden in the middle of the game, you're getting your tail kicked because you just aren't playing really well. And that's been an issue on this team's offense for sure. But the defense has been pretty consistent, but it's a great matchup to watch, because I think, you know, if Tyson Campbell plays, he'll end up on Pickens a lot. And that looks like a really, really good, you know, matchup to deal with. You know, don't forget Tyson Campbell played at Georgia too. So, you know, that could be back to, you know, between him and Pickens and Trayvon Walker. And there's like four or five other Georgia guys in this game. It's almost like a reunion for these guys.
It certainly is. Let's get to this matchup and how we see this playing out. What's the biggest thing that you see leaning, kind of deciding this game, the biggest matchup, the biggest factor, and give us your final score prediction with how this plays out?
Yeah, I think, again, the pass rush, how the Jaguars handle the pass rush is going to be, to me, the most important thing. And that's the matchup that will decide this game. Like I said, I think if Watt and Highsmith are in Trevor's face all day and they're not able to get the ball out quickly, then I think, you know, the Steelers win this game. But I think if they're able to, you know, give him enough time and Trevor can get the ball out quickly and they make some plays with those short throws, I mean, that's the thing, too. You've got to break one of those. you know, not necessarily to the house, but, you know, those short passes can't go for 2, 3, 4 yards. You need to get a couple of 10, 12, 15 yarders out of that. And they can do that, then I think they win the game. I think, you know, they can get to Kenny Pickett. If they get to Kenny Pickett, I think there's some interceptions that are going to be in the future there for that game. But I do think it'll be a low-scoring game, maybe like a 17-14, because, like I said, the Jags offense just doesn't really consistently put up a ton of points and a ton of yards. So I think if the Jags can control the pass rush, I think they win it 17-14. And if they can't, the Steelers win it 17-14.
I think that's the exact pace the Steelers want. That's what they've done. That's what they've won. The Steelers win when they hold teams to less than 20 points. That's just been their MO, not just this year, but for the last like three years. They drag you down to the mud. They make it a rock fight, and they make it like, you know, hey, we're back in the 70s, man. We're bringing it. It's Mean Joe Green, and you can't. You put your hand in the dirt, even if you're lined up at wide receiver. But in all seriousness, I actually think this game's going to have a little bit more scoring to it. Not a lot. I have the Steelers winning 26-19 in a few odd different ways. I think the defense contributes to it. I think both teams create turnovers and both offenses capitalize on those opportunities. I just think that the one thing the Steelers have going for them, like you were talking about, Trevon Walker, I think he's going to be a great player in the NFL as far as all the different things he can do. And I think he is that wrecking ball that Mike Tomlin talked about. But as far as getting to the quarterback in this game, I think that Highsmith and Watt and Ogunjobi and what the Steelers are doing now with their linebackers, Keanu Benton, their rookie defensive tackle, is getting better. DeMarvin Leal has been getting better at it. I think the Steelers are going to be able to throw a little bit more into how they'll attack Trevor Lawrence than the Jaguars will, and that will be the difference between a couple more turnovers or maybe even one more big turnover that the Steelers caused than the Jaguars caused. But these are, like I said, these are two very similar teams. And on top of, you know, all the players we're talking about, they both have Super Bowl champion head coaches and guys that are highly respected, Doug Peterson and Mike Tomlin. You know, when people talk about great coaches, they're both in those conversations in the NFL right now. So I just think everyone, if you're a football fan, you should be tuning into this game. Even if you're just a neutral fan, just wanting to see good ball, this is going to be one of those matchups. Mike, thanks so much for joining us here in the North Shore Drive podcast and the Acrisure Fan Advantage, man. Let people know where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yeah, you can follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at ESPNDIROCCO. You know, obviously I'm active on there. And then if you go to the ESPN.com NFL page, you'll be able to find all my stuff there as well. So I appreciate you having me. This was fun.
This was a lot of fun, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us. Maybe we'll do it again if these teams meet again in the playoffs with the way that they're playing right now. He's Mike DiRocco from ESPN. Check him out on ESPN. I'm Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Find all our written work at post-gazette.com. Check out this show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, all season long with the North Shore Drive podcast. Just a reminder, I am off this weekend, so I will not be with Ray for the Monday episode. We're going to try to get him and Brian Batko to recap the game, but stay tuned. We still have all the content for you here, you guys, with the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We'll see you after the Steelers take on the Jaguars on Sunday. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.